come from Romans 8, 33 through 34. So if you want to turn there first. Romans 8, 33 through 34. Paul says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And the second scripture text comes from Hebrews 7, verses 24 through 25. Hebrews 7, verses 24 through 25. "But he," Jesus, "because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." In the Lord's Supper, we commemorate and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ's office as a priest. Jesus offered, was the offerer, and was the offering of the sacrifice. That's what we commemorate. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, his sacrifice for sin. And Hebrews 10:12 says that after Jesus had offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He completed his work as a priest in that he offered himself and did a final sacrifice, offered a final sacrifice for sins. He finished the job. He said, "It is finished," on the cross. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. But his office as a priest didn't stop there. In these two scripture texts that we read, we see that he continues as your priest and that he prays for you. He makes intercession for you at the right hand of God the Father. And this is what I want to focus on today, this aspect of Jesus as priest, interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And it's my hope that you'll find comfort in knowing that Jesus prays for you. It's my hope you'll find comfort in knowing that Jesus prays for you. We saw in those two texts that Jesus makes intercession for us, that he always lives to make intercession for the saints. But how exactly is Jesus praying for us? What is he praying for? What's he saying to the Father? Well, I think a good indicator of what Jesus' heavenly act of intercession is if we were to look at what his earthly acts of intercession was like. We can maybe get a picture of the way Jesus is praying for us now if we look at how he prayed for his people while he was on earth. So I'd like to take a few moments and look at some of the portions of scripture that outline the way Jesus prayed for his people, and also look at some other scripture texts as well that talk about him praying for us. So the first text I'd like to look at is Luke 22, verses 31 through 32. Luke 22, 31 through 32. In the scripture text, Jesus is talking to Peter, and it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." In this passage, Jesus tells Peter that Satan has asked to sift him like wheat, meaning that Satan desired to attack and assault Peter in such a way as to try to get him to forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very similar to what the devil tries to do to us today, and what the world tries to do to us, and what our own flesh tries to do to us as well. These three things sift us as wheat, as it were, trying to get us to forsake our Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake the kingdom of God, to lose our faith. It places before us things that it tries to get us to desire more than the Lord Jesus Christ, to lose our faith in him and place our faith in worldly things. It's a scary thing if you think about it, that the world and the devil and our flesh try so hard to get us to lose our faith. Do you think you in and of yourself could maintain your faith in Jesus if it were left up to you? Thankfully, Paul says that when we are faithless, he is faithful. And this is what Jesus does for us at the right hand of the Father. This is one of the ways that he prays for his people. He prays for you that your faith may not fail. What an encouragement that is to know that Jesus is praying for you, that your faith may not fail. And those times when you think you can't go on anymore, that you begin to doubt so much, you don't think that you could rely on God anymore. Jesus is there praying for you. Father, don't let his faith fail him. Father, don't let her faith fail her. Maintain it. Jesus prays for you that your faith may not fail. Though tempted, you will always remain true to the end because Jesus prays for you. Another way in which Jesus prays for his people can be found in John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. In that passage, Jesus promises something, and he promises it by praying that the Father will send something. He says to his people, I will pray to the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. In this verse, Jesus tells his disciples that the Father will send them the Holy Spirit because Jesus prays and asks the Father, Father, send them a helper. I'm going away from them. You need to send somebody to help them, to comfort them, to encourage them. And this is what Jesus has prayed for you. When you were saved, Jesus prayed to the Father, Lord, send them the Holy Spirit. Send them the helper. Send them the comforter. And because we have received the Holy Spirit in us, we've received many benefits. The Spirit testifies to our spirits that we're children of God. Whenever we're struggling in such a profound way that we don't even know how to pray to the Father, the Spirit intercedes for us and prays for us. The Spirit convicts us of sin. We can grieve the Spirit, as we read, and it weighs on our consciences, reminding us of whom it is that we actually serve and calls us and leads us to repentance. The Spirit grants us peace that surpasses all understanding. And the Spirit produces in us the fruits of the Spirit. We have this Holy Spirit doing all of these things and so much more because Jesus prayed to the Father that the Spirit would come and rest and dwell in you. This is another way in which Jesus has prayed for you. And he prays, I think, that the Spirit would continue to abide in you as your security deposit, even as a seal of your redemption. This is Jesus doing. He prayed to the Father, send the Spirit to my people. And he lives in you. Another way in which Jesus prays for his people is found in John 17, 17. If you turn over just a couple chapters, you can see what he says. John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. How awesome is it to know that Jesus is praying to the Father, Lord, sanctify them. Sanctify your people. And he intimately connects that with his word, with his truth. He prayed to the Father, Lord, use your word to sanctify my people. He set his holy word apart as a means of grace to sanctify you. And his words, begging the Father to sanctify him by the truth of God's word, makes it effectual, makes it work to sanctify you, to make you more like Jesus Christ. Jesus prays for your sanctification. I find this a great encouragement because so often I rely on myself to be holy. And I fail very much. And I begin to despair, thinking there's no way in which I can do this. And I'm absolutely right. I can't make myself holy. Only the Spirit of God can make me holy through his grace. And Jesus prays, sanctify them. Jesus is praying that you will become holy. And Jesus' prayers are strong. He will make you holy. His prayers are heard by the Father. Those are just a few examples in which Jesus prays for his people. There are many more, but we don't have the time to look at all the ways in which Jesus has prayed. But we can look at those two verses that we began with and see another way in which Jesus' prayers are effectual for his people, a way in which they work. If you look again at Romans 8:33-39 this time, Romans 8:33-39. Paul says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Now you can see the confidence that comes from this assertion that Jesus is at the right hand making intercession for us. He goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The confidence, the truth that we will never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus is intimately connected with the fact that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. Never being separated from the love of the Father is intimately connected with the truth that Jesus is praying for us. You can see that he says that he also makes intercession for us. And you could almost say, so who then will separate us from the love of God? How is it possible for anything in the world to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is the one who's praying for us. Who is stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can thwart his prayers to the Father? No one. Nothing can. So therefore, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. His death and satisfaction was enough to hold us in God's hand forever. Death has been defeated because of the Lord's resurrection. And now he prays for you that you will never, ever fall from the salvation which he's accomplished for you. And that's just what we see in the next chapter, in the next scripture text in Hebrews 7:25. We'll never lose our salvation because Jesus is praying for us. Remember, it says, but he, because he continues forever, Jesus living forever has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's always living to make intercession for his people. Therefore, they are going to be saved to the uttermost because Jesus never stops praying for his people. These few examples alone, I think, should satisfy our hearts and give us great peace in knowing that we will always be with the Father because Jesus prays for us. Yet these are not the only ways in which Christ prays for you, but you have a high priest who can sympathize with your weaknesses. You have a high priest who can sympathize with your weaknesses. Look at Hebrews 4:14-15. Hebrews 4:14-15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has a very intimate knowledge of what it's like to live like you and me. His prayers to the Father aren't just abstract generalizations. Father, keep them safe. Father, protect them. But Jesus lived in this world just like you and me. He experienced everything that we experienced. To think about it, he was born in Nazareth. He was born into poverty, into a difficult circumstance. And he worked hard as a young man. He was a carpenter. He knows what it is to work and to work hard. As he grew up, he experienced some fame and adoration from some people. And at the same time, he experienced rejection, even rejection from his own brothers. And then he knows what it's like to suffer as well. to experience physical pain, and also to experience emotional and spiritual pain as well. In all these ways, he can relate to you and me. And in all these ways, he was tempted as you and I are tempted. He grew up poor. He could have been tempted to be discontent with his situation. He worked hard. He could have been tempted to grumble in the workplace. He had fame. People followed him. He could have been tempted to pride. And he was rejected. He could have been tempted to become bitter. And he also suffered. He could have been tempted to question God. Why are you doing this to me? And yet he was tempted in every way and did not sin. He knows what it's like to live like you and me. And this is one of the beautiful aspects of Jesus becoming human. God taking on flesh so he can better pray for you. He can pray for you in a specific way to the Father because he knows what it's like to be in your situation and circumstances. If you think about asking someone to pray for you who doesn't know you all that well and isn't familiar with your circumstances, perhaps never even experienced what you've gone through, it's kind of hard to receive comfort from them. They can't sympathize with you. They can't empathize with what you're going through, and they have a hard time understanding and praying for you. But this isn't the way it is with Jesus. He knows what it's like to be like you and me. He knows what it's like to be tempted in the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. And he's praying to the Father for you in such an intimate way. I find that so comforting. That Jesus right now is praying for me. He knows what I'm going through. And he's praying for me. And he knows what you're going through as well. And he's praying for you. And we know because of what Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 42, that Jesus' prayers will always be answered. They never fall short. He never prays contrary to the Lord's will because he is the Lord himself. We know that the Father hears him because he confessed with his own mouth, "I know that you always hear me." So we can have confidence in our priest. That he not only gave us the perfect sacrifice to save us from sin and death and to bring us to newness of life and to be glorified in heaven with him forever, but we can have confidence that his prayers will always be heard by the Father in heaven and they will always be answered. The Lord prays for you to sustain your faith. He prays to give you the Spirit of God to comfort you, to help you, to produce fruit in your lives. He prays that you'll be sanctified. The Lord will surely do it, Paul says in Thessalonians. He saves us to the uttermost by his prayers. And he prays for us in a very intimate way. This is the Jesus to whom you and I come in the supper. This is the Jesus who feeds us by his Spirit today. So as you come to the table, remember that the one whose death you proclaim by taking the Lord's Supper is the one who is alive and who's praying for you. So let's go to that Lord in prayer now, the one who prays for you.